fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I've been talking this week about the exhortation, the teaching of the apostles, particularly St. Peter, from his first letter, exhorting those who are followers of Jesus, disciples, to live each day on alert, to live a disciplined life, not just by our own willpower, but a life that's awake to the work of God in us and the spiritual conflict and the battles that we engage in every single day. If you didn't have a chance to tune into the program, by the way, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are right there on the computer. You can download them and listen to them on your iPod or anytime when it's convenient for you. Also, when you're there, take a look. There's just a lot of good stuff on the website, a lot of free stuff that can help you, free newsletters, free booklets, articles that we've written. Take a look at some of the videos that we have of our missions in different parts of the world, some of the new videos we've put up looking at really the history of Renewal Ministries and what we're all about. So give it a look. I think it'll encourage, it'll strengthen you. It's one of the ways, I think, to do what St. Peter's talking here to us about is, therefore, gird up your minds, take action, be ready for battle, be sober, be clear-headed. We really have to help each other do that because we're living in a world that is totally committed for one reason or another. It's really behind it all, really, is demonic power trying to veil our eyes, as St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's the devil's strategy to blind the minds of unbelievers so that we cannot see the light of the glory of God that shines on the face of Jesus. What Peter's saying here is, you know now, by the grace of faith, you've received a living knowledge, experiential knowledge, and conviction of a knowledge that reveals the person of Jesus. We know he is God's only Son, that he reigns at the right hand of the Father in glory, that he's going to come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. Now I belong to him. As St. Peter said, I'm chosen and destined by God the Father. God the Father, the reason why I've been given faith is God's chosen me. It's not my own doing, it's God's grace. And he's chosen me to be in his church and to be part of his family. And he's done that by sanctifying me, by making me holy. Peter Herbeck, apart from baptism into Christ, apart from dying in baptism, that is being united to the cross of Jesus Christ and being crucified with Christ and cleansed by his blood, being united to that death, that old man in me had to die. I mean, Jesus killed it. Jesus put it to death. There's a reality there that he's something new has begun in me by virtue of the gift of the Holy Spirit. I have been sanctified by the Spirit, set apart, that is, by God's own Spirit. For what? He said, for obedience to Jesus Christ. Here's the essence of the life of a disciple. And it can all seem very complex when we're not really set on yielding our lives to Jesus. If Jesus is not at the center of our lives, it can be very difficult because we've got our hearts running in 100 different directions. Jesus is just one of those things I'm genuflecting to in my life. Peter describes it here as our former ignorance and being subject to our passions and a kind of slavery. One of the kinds of slavery I haven't talked about yet, but I think is very common, is we can live in the minds of other people. What do they think about me? Do they like me? You know, do they respect me? You know, do they like what I'm going to wear? I want to get in this inner circle of people, these important people. It's important to me that these people think highly of me. And what can I do to make sure that they think highly of me or to change their mind about me? And we get anxious as if our life is in their hands. And the reason we're so vulnerable to stuff like that is because of our lack of self-respect, our lack of understanding how valuable we actually are. Everybody seems to be measured by what you possess, by what mountain you've climbed, what things you've accomplished. It's fine to acknowledge people's accomplishments. Great. But guess what? Everybody hasn't been given the same gifts. Everybody hasn't been given the same talents. Some people have been given abundance of talent that allows them to succeed at a very high level in this world. But those gifts come from God. It's not gifts they created. They're doing something with them. I hope they do the right thing with them. But from God's point of view, what's really valuable is what you do with what you've been given. And what really matters at the end of the day is not look at all I've built. What really matters is, have you loved? Have you loved as Christ loves? That's the renewed mind. Christ's not after building Manhattan all over the world or building, you know what I'm saying? He's not after building material things all over the world for man's glory. What he's after is love. Self-donation. The love of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's building a civilization of love. And that means what? We follow in his footsteps and we value what he values in the way that he values it. Jesus values humility. Jesus values humble service. Jesus values turning our hearts toward the poor. Jesus values loving those each day who are right in front of us and loving the way he loved. No greater love is a man than this. He laid down his life for his friends. I mean, when we talk about love in this world, it's almost always related to romantic love. And it's usually self-centered in many ways. That we love people for their own sake. Why? Because we grasp the value of every single person. Think again of St. Francis. Story when St. Francis encountered the lepers that in his day, you know, they were quarantined. They were set outside the city. And it was just grotesque physically what they endured. Just foul and horrible to even see and to be around. And St. Francis came upon them after his conversion. He got sick just being around them the first time, and he went away and he ended up throwing up and he just couldn't stand it. He lived a pretty nice life up to that point. He was used to comfort. Right? But what he did was he realized through faith, he knew the value of each and every one of those people. He understood their suffering. He understood Christ's love for them and that Jesus himself would wash their feet if he was present. And so with the grace of God and doing what St. Peter said here, gird up your mind. Gird up your mind, St. Francis. Be strong. Remember who you are. Take action. These are your brothers and sisters. Love them. Serve them. And he went back and he did just that. He washed their wounds. He kissed them. He embraced them. He showed them the love of Christ so they could understand their dignity, those who were like the ultimate outcasts. That's a transformed mind. That's someone who is following, who sees with Christ's optic what's in front of him. That's a converted man. Each one of us is called to as St. Peter said, put on the new mind, right? The transformed mind. Don't be conformed to your former passions. Don't just say, oh, yuck, I don't want to be around those people. I don't want to go visit an old folks' home because it's just so depressing. I don't want to go to a hospital because it's depressing. I don't want to be around people, prisoners, you know, I don't want to go see prisoners because they're so full of problems. I want to isolate myself from the brokenness of humanity, and I'm going to secure myself and build a wall around my comfort, and I'm going to fill myself with entertainment and comfort for me. I might send a check here and there, but I don't want to get down and dirty. I don't want to roll up my sleeves. I don't want to follow Jesus there. I'll follow Jesus over here. Pope Francis said, you know, we ought to smell like the sheep. That's what St. Francis was doing with the lepers. He was smelling like the lepers. I mean, it didn't go away. The foul stench, the smell, his battling with sickness and the rest of it, it was there. But what he was doing, friends, is he was putting to death in himself the passions that dominated him to say, I want comfort. I don't want to be in a hard place. I don't want to have to do something that's difficult. I don't want to make these kinds of sacrifices. It's repulsive to me. But he said, look, there's a new power and a new capacity in me. The power of the Holy Spirit. It's the presence of Jesus. Jesus, be Lord of my life. Help me subdue all of my passions that are so geared toward self-indulgence. Help me. Help me to be like you. Show me, Jesus. And that's what the Lord did. So Peter goes on in verse 15, he said, now, You know, don't be conformed to your former ignorance. But he who has called you is holy. Be holy yourselves in all your conduct. That is, all your conduct in your whole way of life now. You're living a new way of life. You've been sanctified by the Holy Spirit for obedience to Jesus. So Peter said in the opening of the letter, that's who you are. Now, live in accord with that. That's your reality now. That's what Christ is doing in you. Cooperate with that. Accept the truth about who you are. Stop drinking in the world's definition of who you are and who you're supposed to be. Friends, that's hard to do if we're plugged in day and night to the world, because the world is set on getting into your wallet. It's set on getting you to buy an identity, to live a particular way, to become addicted to what the world wants to give you and sell you. It'll define for you what you're supposed to be, and it will always leave you empty at the end of the day. And here's Peter saying, no, don't forget, you're destined, appointed, chosen by God to be holy. He set you apart. Now be set apart and love as he's called you to love. And Peter says, it's written, you shall be holy for I am holy. It's from the Old Testament, right? And he said, if you invoke as Father him who judges each one impartially according to his deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout your time of exile. Here's part of the transformed mind. Who are you? You're an alien. You're a sojourner. You're in exile. Just like those are Old Testament figures. Abraham was a nomad of faith. Our father in faith was a nomad of faith. Wandered in the desert. Israel wandered in the desert, God's people. They're a sign of what the people of God will always be in this world. This is simply not our home. We're on the way. We're on the way home is where we're going. But we need to live as children of the family of God, the covenant people of God. And he's saying, how are we supposed to live? Conduct yourselves with fear. He's not talking about slavish fear, like, oh, God is so angry and he's stomping around in heaven and I'm so afraid of him. And that's slavish fear. That has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. It has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit that set us aside and made us holy for obedience. It's that profound awe and respect and ordering of our life, our mind, and our heart toward reality. And that's why Scripture says, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom is that capacity to live rightly, you know, to order our life according to reality, according to truth and God's plan, not to live in delusion or the kind of ignorance that St. Peter's talking about. That's why we need the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is that deep, profound knowledge that I'm under the power of God and that we'll be accountable to God too. That's really a part of it. It's a very important part of it. So conduct yourselves with fear throughout your time of exile. We're going to be going home soon. Friends, I say this all the time when I give talks, we're all going to be dead soon. That's not a morbid thought. It's not meant to take all the fun out of life. It's just a fact. Your life is moving toward the moment when you're going to die. And so being prepared for that moment is absolutely crucial. That's what the apostles are teaching us. Let's tune in again tomorrow, friends. We'll continue to hear what St. Peter has to say. God bless. Have a good day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the Church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.